Well, good morning again. Now, so far in this series, the sermon series, The Core, we have looked at three of Revive Wesleyan's values. And then after today, we're going to look at three more. So we are really smack dab in the middle. And since we are at this midway point, it just seems to be a good time to kind of remember and to remind ourselves of what values are and what values do. Well, they really are, as we have said, a core principle by which one makes decisions. And they are things that we can hold steadfast to in an ever-changing world, right? I mean, there are just so many competing messages trying to tell us what to believe, trying to tell us how to behave, aren't there? So many that we better be grounded, we better be anchored. We better be tied to something of substance and something of strength and even something of safety. And so the values of this church, what will they serve as such anchors for us as a church, as Revive Wesleyan? But as we've also said, you individually, okay? Yes, you better have some anchors for yourself as well in your life, in what guides you and how you make decisions. And so we as a church, we feel strongly about these anchors, these biblical values that the Lord has led us to, that guide us as a church, which we are presenting to you. And thus, in that, we are offering them to you. We are inviting you to consider incorporating them into your life as well. But anyway, with that, I want to ask you, if you have a core journal, turn to page 43 and 45 now. If you don't have a core journal yet, you can still grab one. There's a few left in the back. They're $5. But anyway, get on page 43 and 44. And in there, we see a simple chart. It's a simple chart that really marks the different stages of spiritual growth. The different stages, in other words, that a disciple of Jesus is to experience. And we're gonna talk about this chart a little bit later as we tackle this, the fourth Revive Wesleyan value, which is in fact disciple making. We value disciple making. We value disciple making because we value God's word, which among other things documents Jesus' words. And with that said, the main scripture that formed our disciple making value is this, Matthew 28, verse 18 to 19, which is known as the Great Commission. It reads like this. Then Jesus came to them. He came to his disciples, his students, his followers, and he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go," he said. Go, handing them this authority. He said, go. He said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, just so we know, this is Jesus' last command before ascending into heaven, making it, I would say, pretty important, okay? And not just a suggestion, but a commandment, and critical to what his desire is for us. And I've got to say that this is rather significant, okay? That disciple making, it finds itself smack dab in the middle of this series. Smack dab in the middle of our list of core values of seven. Because the first 3 weeks, they really reflect how the Holy Spirit of God produces a disciple of Jesus. Through things like Scripture, okay? Our exposure to and our interaction with Scripture forms us into a disciple. And Scripture, if you remember, or if you weren't here, that is our number one value. In order of priority, too, it's our number one. And then through prayer, our second value, our asking and our listening and thus communicating with God, well, through that, we become more like Christ. And we also do through worship. As we worship, value number three, as you and I worship with our thoughts and our speech and our actions, we are formed as disciples, church, as we remember who we are and who God is, and that all we have is really his. So we worship him with all we have. So church, the first three values that we've covered in this series in the prior weeks, they really are key to the formation of a disciple. Well, the next three that we're going to cover in the coming weeks, next week and beyond, well, they are really aspects of what a disciple of Jesus does. Or better stated, they are aspects of what the Holy Spirit produces in us. Things like generosity and hospitality and outreach. As we study Scripture, as we pray, as we worship, we go through this disciple-making process that we're talking about today, resulting in some of the things that we're going to be talking about in the coming weeks. But with that said, we want to really focus on disciple-making today, all in order to better understand what it is, okay, and to look at how Jesus, in fact, defined a disciple and how he, in fact, even made them. So with that, we're going to look at Luke chapter 5 today. We're going to be in verses 1 through 11 where Jesus calls his first disciples. And you can get there now in your Bible, Luke chapter 5, which is like more than halfway through. It's pretty far in there. Or the verses are going to be on the screen, but I would encourage you, as I always do, to get used to navigating your Bible. And you can get there while I just pray quickly for our time. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time, Lord. We thank you for your word. Lord, as we just reflect on disciple making today, would you speak to us? Would you guide us? Would you stretch us? Lord, we worship you with our thoughts during this time that will lead to our actions. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, so let's read Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. It says this. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, aka the Sea of Galilee, okay, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon Peter, and asked him to put out a little bit from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon Peter, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon Peter answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." So church, right out of the gates, the first thing we see is that disciples of Jesus, they accept the invitation of Jesus. Disciples of Jesus accept the invitation of Jesus. And his invitation to do what exactly? Well, Jesus, he first offered an invitation when he got in the boat of Simon Peter and his co-workers. I mean, they had been listening to his teaching and they generally knew who he, Jesus, was, along with the rest of the crowd overall, knowing who Jesus was. But here, what we see is Jesus, he just entered into their space in a very personal way, really. And yes, Jesus, he probably wanted to get some space from the crushing crowd, and he probably wanted to use the water to amplify his voice for the crowd. However, after finishing with the crowds, we then see him turn to Simon Peter, don't we? And offer another invitation. And this time it is one to go deeper. Deeper into the water. It says here that Jesus asked them to push out deeper into the water so that the nets would realize a catch. And Simon Peter's initial response here shows us that he struggled to accept Jesus' invitation. And I mean, who could blame him, right? I mean, can't you hear him now? Can't you relate to his responses? In some ways, you know, hey, Rabbi, hey, Jesus, dude, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. I'm not thinking this is going to work. Now, maybe you are at this place this morning. Maybe that's where you are this morning. A place of doubt, in other words, that he, God, can actually make a difference. Or maybe for you, it's, you know, Jesus, I've worked hard to live life well and it just hasn't worked out. So Jesus, what difference can you make now? It's too far gone. Or maybe for you it would be, you know, Jesus, you're a great teacher and all. You know, you're a sound rabbi, but like, what do you know about my business? What do you know about my life? What do you know about fishing, Jesus? You know, Jesus, you seem like you're a nice guy, but I don't want you all up in my boat. I don't want you all up in my business. I don't want you all up in my life. In fact, I could even hear people saying, you know, Jesus, some of what you said, it's a bit too close for comfort, right? So I'll just keep you, thank you very much, I'll just keep you at an arm's length, okay? Don't be getting up in my boat. Be careful, church. Be careful with those attitudes, church. Because the point is that it is very easy to like, it is very easy to even respect Jesus as a person or as a historical figure. But it is a completely different thing to accept his full invitation, which is to trust him and to trust him with it all. To, in other words, go into deep waters, church, and grow. Grow in our faith. So where do you land in that? Where do you land in that today? Where do you land in that? Ask yourself that today. But with that, let's go back to this account because, you know, in the end, we see that Simon Peter, he decided, right, to trust Jesus, didn't he? And we see that with his words, what? Because you say so. So Simon Peter, okay, he is simply taking Jesus at his word. And Jesus' invitation to Simon Peter and to us today is, once again, it is to trust him, to have faith in him as God's son, and just always know that Jesus, he doesn't force us, guys. He invites us. It is up to us to receive or not receive, even when it comes to the invitation to get into this disciple-making process. He doesn't force us. He invites us. He desires it for us. In fact, in Revelation 3:20, Jesus says it this way, "Here I am. Here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and I will eat with that person and they with me." And church, each and every one of us has this invitation extended to us for Jesus to enter our lives and for him to be with us day in and day out, just as he was with his disciples when he was here on earth. He offers to be with us spiritually day in and day out. But anyway, let's see what happened when Simon Peter accepted Jesus' invitation. Let's go back to Luke chapter 5. Let's look at verse 6. "When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come up and to help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and he said, 'Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man.' For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners." So think about this for a minute, okay? Think about it. There is this group, church, of rough and tumble fishermen. A group of rough and tumble fishermen who just experienced a miracle. So you would think that Peter would be ecstatic or grateful or joyful, or maybe all three and then some. But no, in front of all his rough and tumble fishing buddies, he drops to the ground and in humility, he exclaims, "Go away from me, Jesus, for I am a sinful man." Church, how Simon Peter views Jesus, it changes dramatically after this miracle. With the verse, the text suggesting that Simon Peter, he's petrified, guys. I mean, his nets are torn, his boat's about to sink, and from other Bible accounts, we see that he's not that great of a swimmer. And he's also overwhelmed, I'm sure. He's overwhelmed that everything that he thought he knew about fishing, his own profession, was just proven wrong by a carpenter and by a teacher. But on a deeper level than any of this, church, Simon Peter is recognizing that Jesus, do you know what? He's recognizing that Jesus is so much more. So much more. Can you say so much more? So much more than he originally thought that this Jesus was. And out of that, he realizes something. He realizes that his sin, and thus he, should not be in the presence of this Jesus. Simon Peter Church is realizing that his sin and Jesus' perfect holiness cannot stand each other. And so he falls on his knees and he tells Jesus to leave him. He literally can't stand it in this moment. Now, what does this communicate to us? What does it mean to us? Well, in addition, church, to accepting Jesus' invitation, as we already saw, through the testimony of Simon Peter, we see that disciples do, besides that, they repent of their sins. Disciples of Jesus repent of their sins, which includes acknowledging our doubt, which includes acknowledging our hesitation in taking Jesus at his word. And it means acknowledging the many times that we resist or disobey his word, thinking that we know better, or thinking it's too restrictive or his word is too tough. Disciples of Jesus, church, repenting of their sins, it means acknowledging that we often don't want to follow the ways of Jesus. Because maybe we'll look like fools, right? Maybe we'll look like fools in front of our coworkers saying, sure, Jesus, I'll put out deeper. Or maybe we'll look like fools, fear of looking like fools in front of our friends or our family or our classmates. Disciples of Jesus repenting of their sins, it looks like acknowledging all of these things before God and then turning away from disobedience and turning toward Jesus and turning toward his ways instead. Now with that, if you could look again at page 43 and 44 of your core journal, you'll see that when a person acknowledges his or her sin and repents from them and turns to Jesus, they move from being spiritually dead or lost to being born again. That's what happens. As a spiritual infant, being born again, this is a spiritual rebirth. In fact, if you have a journal in the space between dead and lost, an infant, you can write acknowledge and repent, or you can write accept and repent, which is so important because it's so important because just doing good things, guys, just doing good things, or just believing that Jesus was a great guy, or just saying you're sorry when you mess up, or just being kind does not make you a disciple of Jesus. It doesn't. You need to be reborn. You need to be reborn spiritually through repentance and acceptance of Jesus as God's Son, church. For Jesus himself says that he is the way to the Father. And so just as when a person is physically born, when someone is born again spiritually, it is an awesome celebration where the angels in heaven, they jump for joy, which is the beauty of baptisms, where are the celebrations of new life in this declaration of dying to oneself to be reborn in and of Jesus and for Jesus. So church, hear me now. Being a spiritual infant is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. However, just as with physical infants, we don't want to stay there. We aren't meant to stay there. Let's keep growing, church. And at the end of the service today, we want to share some steps, some next steps with you that you can take in order to grow. But for now, let's go back to our Luke 5 account and let's listen together to Jesus' response to Simon Peter's repentance. For Simon Peter saying, get away from me. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. So what do we see here? Well, we see that Jesus did not get away from Simon Peter. He didn't do that. But he, in fact, did quite the opposite. He asked Simon Peter to follow him. So to finish this definition, if you will, that we've been building of a disciple this morning, try this on for size. Disciples of Jesus grow in their faith by accepting his invitation, repenting of their sins, and participating in his mission. In other words, his great commission, as the mission that we read earlier, to make disciples. So as a disciple of Jesus, you should grow to the point where you are making disciples of Jesus. And you are participating in that, which is reflected in the chart where you see the transition from a spiritual young adult to a spiritual parent. As a spiritual parent, you turn around, guys. You turn around and you help those. You help those coming up behind you to where it really is not so much about you anymore. Not meaning, church, that we don't keep seeking the Lord or that we don't remain disciplined in our values of scripture, prayer, and worship. And not meaning that we personally have nothing more to learn or nowhere further to grow, but a healthy part of our time and our attention turns to now helping others in their discipleship journey. Now, a great example of this is it's choosing to serve in something like our children's ministry here at the church. Or another great example of this is someone who's, you know, maybe been in a small group or a community group or a Bible study, and now they're stepping up, right? To lead one, in fact. Now, you may not be there yet, but the point is, guys, to grow in one's faith and to not be stagnant, do you know what that requires? It requires obedience. It requires obedience, which we saw and see in this passage of Jesus making his first disciples. We see in Simon Peter that spiritual growth comes from obedience. And spiritual growth is not just attending another Bible study. It's not just going to a Christian conference or a retreat. It's not just reading books by leading Christian authors or even attending church every week. Now, again, don't hear me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Those are important aspects of growth. But the measure, hear me now, the measure of one's growth is obedience. The measure of one's growth is really obedience when you think about it. I mean, think about it. Simon Peter, he didn't go deeper by listening to another one of Jesus' sermons. He didn't go deeper by memorizing scripture. Because those disciplines, they can only take you or I to a certain point. To where you and I, we have to decide, guys. We have to make a choice. We have to decide to actually obey them or not. Simon Peter went deeper with Jesus and grew in his faith by doing what Jesus said, even when it didn't make sense. And even when he was tired, you know, working all night, even when he was discouraged because he hadn't caught anything, and even though he'd maybe look like a fool in front of his friends and his coworkers by trying out what Jesus said. And sadly, the truth of the matter is that some of you, some of us, a large portion of Christians, the sad truth is many of us are stuck. We're stuck. We're stuck in shallow waters, guys. We're stuck in the shallow waters of Christianity, stuck in the early stages of a spiritual growth area on that chart, all because we won't obey what we already know. And what for some of us we've even known for years, but we're holding on to it instead of letting it go. And maybe that's because it scares you or because you're comfortable with where you're at. But I'm telling you, in that, we are missing out on all that God has for us by remaining stuck. Being a disciple of Jesus means that we allow him to take our lives piece by piece, area by area, which in the past were maybe spent, you know, trying to catch money or status or power or comfort or control, whatever, even maybe a good time or even just enough to get by on, but with no real regard for him. Being a disciple of Jesus means moving away from all of that, church, being the center or the focus of our lives and following him, responding to his invitation as he grows us up and as he transforms us into living lives used to catch people. Now, truth be told, for a second, I've always kind of struggled with these words from Jesus, these words, fish for people. Because you know what? It sounds pretty predatory to me. It sounds like you're trying to lure or trick people in. And for some of us, it may even tend to sound boring, depending on your experience with real fishing, you know, for fish, you know, just sitting around, not catching much of anything. However, as we look at this story, there are two cool things that we learn, okay? And one is this. Simon Peter and his friends, they didn't fish with poles, right? And lures. They didn't do that. They fished with what? They fished with nets, which required what? That they fished together. Because many were needed to complete that work. Showing us, you and I, the church, as fellow Christians, that we all have a part to play in disciple making, but we never play all the parts. We are in this, and we are meant to be in this together. Now, another thing to note is that traditional fishing practices, you and I know, they result in the fish that was once alive not being so much anymore, right? But listen to me, okay? Jesus' way of fishing, it takes people who are spiritually dead and it makes them alive. It revives them. That's exciting. Amen. With that said, as the worship team comes up, I just want to share with you and ask you if you knew something. Did you know that God is working? Did you know that He is at work in your family? Did you know that He is at work in your community, in your workplace? He's at work in your school. He's at work in your neighborhood. He's at work in our country. He's at work around the world. And He invites you to participate. He invites you into that, for we are Christ's co-workers. The Great Commission of making disciples that I read of earlier, it's really the Great Co-mission, where we work with Jesus to grow in our faith and to help others to do the same. And you know what? It's worked, and it is working. Because after leaving everything behind, the disciples, they went into this three-year-long internship where they watched Jesus and they followed Him closely all the way to His death. And in that time, do you know what? Their numbers grew. They grew as quickly as the fish in their nets in our story today, crossing cultural, ethnic, gender barriers of that day. And in fact, as you read the Bible, as I read the Bible, it's hard to believe that some of the people who decided to accept the invitation of Jesus did so. And they repented of their sins, and they participated in His mission. And Jesus, he originally had 12 disciples, right? However, today, Jesus has over 2 billion disciples. Amen. About a third of the world's population. And you know what? It's only growing. It's only growing. Jesus is on the move. He's on the move through the church, the disciples that make up the body of believers. And I say all that just to say, what an incredible thing, guys, that you and I have been invited to be a part of. What an incredible thing. Now, speaking of disciple making, one step in that process is child dedication, which we have an opportunity coming up for at the end of October. But just to be really clear, this is really about the parents of a child living and committing to live in ways obedient to Christ and in the ways to show Christ and God's way of living to their child so that one day they will come to accept Him for themselves. And we as a church, we also commit to that in dedication to come alongside the family in Christ. So if child dedication is something that interests you, you can check it out at the website, revivewesleyan.com/kids. Now also, when it comes to disciple making and that process, bigger picture, we as a church, we just want to be really transparent with you with where we are with that overall. And in so many ways, we are in a rebuilding phase. You know, just as over the past 3 years, we have revamped our mission, vision, and values, we are now working out the specifics of the disciple-making path to help you grow. And so with that today, we just want to share with you a simple outline what this is shaping up to look like. So this is going to be up here, and over here we've got Meet the Pastor. So as people start to come to the church here and get to experience us, and this is something we've had, but we want to point them to Meet the Pastor. And that way we can get to know them, they can get to know us a little bit, myself and some of the team here, and just what we're about. And then from there, we have the Begin class, which is a 5-week conversation about, you know, what does it look like to really follow Jesus? Now that I've accepted Him, what does that look like? And then from there, off of that, we're going to be pointing people in one of 3 directions, either healing, serving, or groups. So healing is maybe, you know, after going through begin, it's discerned between us and the person that, you know, they just need some counseling. They maybe have an addiction they need some help with. I don't know what it is. They're in grief, but we're going to point them in that direction. Or maybe they're ready to serve. You know, maybe they're ready to just get boots on the ground and help us do ministry together after they've healed, you know. So serving's another area. And then, of course, groups and community groups, which is just these outside small groups that meet to go deeper with the Word and with the Bible and with learning. So that's really our area. So when it comes to begin, we're ready to start one of the begin classes on Sunday, October 15th, 9 a.m. That's going to be at the Trading Post. And I would recommend that if you've never done that, to do that, okay? To get the foundations of your faith and living it out solid. And this is good for a new believer or maybe someone that's been in a different faith background or something like that. It's probably good for everybody just to get that 5-week solid foundation. Now, you can register for that by texting the word begin to the number 716-649-6335. So I would encourage you to do that. Now, as we really near our close this morning, I just got to say the Lord has really led me and our campus advisory team to begin highlighting a ministry area for a month, okay? To you all, to the congregation, because you know what? We have so many wonderful things going on here as a campus, which we want to let you know about, and we also want to garner your prayer support and attention for these set areas for a whole month. So with that said, for the month of October, we want to focus on our children's ministry area, this all-important area that really, when you think about it, it is disciple-making. Wholeheartedly, what we talked about today, as we open up spaces for children to be ministered to and taught, while we as adults are ministered to and taught in a setting meaningful to us, enhancing all of our discipleship formation. So over the next several Sundays during October, we're just going to share a little bit more about children's ministry because it's important, okay? Again, it's disciple-making, and if disciple-making is important, which it is, it better be important to us as a church, and it better be important to all of you as invited disciple-makers, whether you have kids or not. And first off, what we're going to do is we're going to ask you all and invite you all into working out your prayer muscle from that value together by praying each day, daily in October for our children's ministry area. Now, our children's ministry area, it covers birth to fifth grade, and there's three separate disciple-making rooms, which you'll be able to read about on the prayer guideline. And then in children's ministry, it also includes some fun events that we do, you know, to foster healthy family interaction outside of Sunday morning. It also includes parenting classes that Revive offers. So again, it is an important and far-reaching disciple-making ministry. And did you know that most Americans, okay, like between 70 and 80% based on solid research, they place their initial faith in Jesus between the ages of 4 and 14 as kids. So this is huge, guys. With that, we want to start, again, our focus of this area with prayer. So on your way out, you're going to get a prayer guide. There's some at the Connection Center. There's some at the High Round Top. Finn's going to be by the door handing them out. And I'm really inviting you and asking you, would you please, please, please work out our prayer muscle? And I just want to read this verse. It says this, Psalm 78, verse 5 to 7. He, God, decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. So on this prayer guide that you're going to get, we're going to ask you to pray, first of all, thanksgiving for what God has done for years and years here as a ministry at Revive Wesleyan in our kids' ministry area. Then we're going to also ask you to be praying for those that serve in that area of ministry here at the Springville campus. And I'm telling you, it's a small but powerful team. You may have noticed the last 2 weeks we've got kids in here with us. That's because it's a small team, but when somebody's got something going on, it puts us in a bit of a bind. So we want to cover that team in prayer. And we also want to pray for, you know, new people to rise up to help in that area of ministry and cover that in prayer. And then, of course, we want to pray for you as parents and grandparents and caregivers that bring your kids here to get poured into and made into disciples. And then lastly, that prayer guide is going to walk you into covering the kids themselves in prayer. So again, I can't ask you enough. Would you please grab one of those prayer guides? Would you commit to trying to do that daily this month? And this verse is going to be on there with more of it to just really help to formulate that. But now I'm going to invite Meredith forward. And she is going to, she's one of the shining kids in our kids ministry. And she's going to close with a benediction through reading a verse for us. So come right up here, Meredith.
Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Amen.